The Bush administration counts Egypt as a moderate Arab state and a strong ally in the Middle East. But as the Israeli-Palestinian conflict goes on, anger is replacing moderation on the streets. That's particularly true among young Egyptians, many of whom have been politicized by the violence they see on new Arabic-language satellite channels. It's an important segment of society. In a country of 70 million people, 65% of the population is under 25 years old. Deborah Amos reports from Cairo on the growing anger of young Egyptians, their willingness to challenge their parents' moderate generation, and Egypt's political leadership.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, roll!
On the outskirts of Cairo, the Orbit television studios stand in a cluster of warehouses. The host of one of the most popular cable shows in the Middle East is getting ready for this evening's program. After more than 6,000 call-in talk shows, Imad Adin Adib says he's the Larry King of the Middle East. He's a big man, more than 300 pounds, and fits nicely into a pale Western suit. Adib discusses big ideas every night. Now, many nights, he deals with Egyptian anger over U.S. support for Israel.
Our look is that America only looks to the Middle East from an Israeli eyeglasses or from an Israeli point of view. We're not against the American. We are against the practices of the American administration or American policy towards the Middle East, which is our right to say we like this or we hate it. But we are not. We don't hate America. We don't hate Americans.
Educated in the United States, Adib says he is a moderate and always supported Egypt's long alliance with the United States. But now he finds it harder to defend. He remembers viewers' reaction when President Bush made this statement.
I do believe Ariel Sharon is a man of peace. I think
when somebody comes and tells me that Mr. Sharon is a man of peace, and then you want me as a TV presenter to come out and try to defend the American policy. I have nothing. I'm speechless. I have no weapons to answer my public opinion back.
Adib says Egyptians believe there is no U.S. support or even sympathy for the Palestinians. They see fellow Arabs under siege. And many here believe the U.S. shares the blame. And it is the younger generation who display their anger most openly.
Today's rally is held to remind those who may have forgotten or have chosen to forget the plight of thousands of Palestinians.
This university campus has a look and sound that is familiar, a reminder of American universities in the 1960s. A speaker is high on the steps of an open courtyard. Loudspeakers blare an attack on U.S. foreign policy. It is a teach-in. This is the American University in Cairo. Students sip coffee and put down their cell phones to listen.
Thousands are missing.
Others stand at tables covered with pictures of dead and wounded Palestinians. Students signed a protest petition against U.S. support for Israel.
I can see my students, how angry they are, how frustrated they are. They just want to do something.
Mona Makram Abed, a former member of parliament, now teaches here.
After the cruelty that they have seen and the brutality with which the Palestinians were treated, I mean, they are very, very angry.
Who do they blame for that?
They blame mainly Sharon, obviously, but their anger is very much geared to the United States.
Anger that boiled over into demonstrations this spring when Israeli tanks occupied Palestinian towns. The fact that protests are banned in Egypt did not stop thousands of students pushing through the metal gates of the university and onto the streets. Aziz Al-Kaisiyuni was one of those students.
Where we live, there are not many avenues for us to express our discontent or to attempt to affect government policy in any sense. If we are unwilling to even go out and take the risk of being hit on our own streets, then how exactly can we be expressing sympathy for people who are willing to go out and get shot in their streets and die?
Allahu Akbar! Allahu Akbar! Allahu Akbar! Allahu Akbar!
Many of the students at American University in Cairo are the sons and daughters of Egyptian elite, the establishment. So they took the government by surprise when they joined Islamic militants and older radicals burning the American flag and attacking police vans. The police responded with beatings, tear gas, and water cannons. It was a protest against Israel and the United States, but also an attack on the government of Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak. Mohamed Wakel is a graduate student in political science.
The number of people who are politicized is increasing. The number of people who are not happy with Mubarak specifically are increasing as well.
Many students say their government is corrupt, out of touch, and bought off by American foreign aid. Again, Mohamed Wakel.
Egypt is not a democracy. Egypt is a very oppressive regime. The Mubarak regime is very oppressive, and it's being bailed out by the United States. And I just wish they leave us alone to correct ourselves.
To get their point across, many young Egyptians back a boycott of symbols of the United States. Nike sportswear, Marlboro cigarettes are on the list. So are American fast food chains in Egypt, including McDonald's. Businessman Mahmoud Al-Kaisiouni represents more than 300 American franchise businesses in Egypt. He warns the boycott of American goods only hurts Egyptian families.
The United States doesn't even feel what's going on, but it's seriously affecting Egyptians. We are talking about around 3 million Egyptian families. Their daily bread comes from these products that are being manufactured in Egypt.
It is an argument he has often made on television talk shows, but he faces his toughest critic at home. His 22-year-old son Aziz backs the boycott and will not touch a Big Mac.
McDonald's, yes, is a franchise that is run by Egyptians. At the end of the year, a royalty is still paid to an American corporation that, in one sense or another, has proclaimed its support of Israel.
Sometimes we reach an agreement and sometimes we don't. But this doesn't affect our home and our relations and tranquility in this house. Aziz is a man of principles.
These days, the argument in this gap between generations often focuses on the long-time alliance between Egypt and the United States, an alliance that brings in over $2 billion a year in foreign aid.
I think the alliance is there and it will continue in spite of everything. It would be illogic to say it has to stop or we've got to break the relation because this will be, it will be crazy.
I have nothing but contempt for the alliance. Everyone has basically decided it is wiser, it is more pragmatic to side with the United States. We have sided with a state whose policy is actively antagonistic towards our values and our beliefs.
Aziz is more religious than his father. His political opinions are shaped in part by an information revolution taking place in the Arab world. In Cairo, satellite dishes are on the rooftops of tall buildings and humble homes, on mosques, on schools. It is part of this information revolution that cannot be controlled by the government. There is open internet access, and there are new Arabic language satellite news stations. And what images do they broadcast? Again, Aziz Al-Kaisiouni.
We watch the gunships taking out Palestinian buildings every day, and they are manufactured in the United States. We watch President Bush walk out and say he understands the reasons for what the Israelis are doing.
I came here with a message of peace.
This is an example of the most popular Arab satellite channel, Al Jazeera. A line about peace from the Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon keeps repeating under images of death and destruction far more graphic, more bloody, than those on American television networks. They are images so powerful that university student Salvana Ibrahim, a daughter of the elite, says she understands why a Palestinian woman would become a suicide bomber.
You see, if I'm a girl whose father, brother, husband, and even child was killed by an Israeli, I don't have any weapon. I don't see any future for all my community. What else can I do? I don't have any weapon but my body to use.
At one Cairo university, several young women signed statements saying they would go to Palestine to be suicide bombers. Young men signed the statement with their blood. It is a long step from signing a piece of paper to strapping on explosives. But in Egypt today, many think it could be taken a step further. Deborah Amos, NPR News, Cairo.